Earlier in the service, Frank read a scripture that was taken, that famous passage of scripture taken from the book of Proverbs, which presents for us the idealized picture of the perfect mom. Even reading Proverbs 31 tires me out. Right? Not to mention what it must do to the mom herself. I love that passage of scripture. I love Proverbs 31. We need ideals. Proverbs 31 is an idealized picture of a mother, but it's not the image of motherhood that I want to present this morning. Instead, I want to remind every woman who is here that there is hope for the less than ideal mom. So we're going to begin. I want every mom just to close her eyes. I know you're all busy. And just take a deep breath. Just breathe in. Doesn't that feel good? I'm reminded, as we take that breath, as we talk about Proverbs 31, of a story called The Evolution of Mothers. All new mothers go through a sort of evolution as their families begin to grow. There's a difference in the way that they approach things, right? As you start to have multiple children, seven, right? Was six the same as one? No, all different. For instance, the way you approach clothes. First baby, you begin wearing maternity clothes as soon as the doctor confirms your pregnancy. Second baby, you wear your regular clothes as long as possible. Third baby, your maternity clothes are your regular clothes. That is not true at all. Then there's preparing for birth. First baby comes along and you practice those Lamaze breathing techniques. Second baby, you don't bother practicing anymore because you remember the last one. Third baby, you ask for an epidural in the eighth month. Then there's the layette. Am I saying that right? The layette. First baby, you pre-wash your newborn's clothes. You make sure, like, where's he's downstairs already. Right, he's got that little seersucker jacket on. He looks so cute. You color coordinate what they wear. You fold them neatly and place them on that little baby bureau that you got at the shower. Then the second baby comes along. You check to make sure that the clothes are clean and discard only the darkest stains. And then there's the third baby. Boys can wear pink, can't they? How about the pacifier? I'm seeing some of this. Boy, watching, I wish Crystal were here. First baby, if the pacifier falls on the floor, you put it away until you can wash and boil it. Second baby, when the pacifier falls on the floor, you squirt it off with some juice from the baby's bottle. Third baby, you wipe it on your shirt and pop that sucker back in. And then there's your behavior at home, right? First baby, you spend a good bit of every day just gazing into the baby's eyes, right? I was with, Barb and I were at La Casa, and there was a lady there with a new baby, and the poor husband was, like, getting no attention at all. She was sticking her head in the carriage and smiling. They were looking back and forth. Second baby, you spend a bit of every day watching to be sure your older child isn't squeezing, poking, or hitting the baby. Third baby, you spend a bit of every day trying to hide from your children. Right? It's true. Right? Life isn't always the ideal. It's like the real life story of a woman who grew up to be president of one of the most effective, influential ministries in the Church of Jesus Christ in America over the last 30 years. This woman's circumstances were far less than ideal. She grew up in a broken home. Her parents were divorced when she was five. Her older sister, younger brother, and her were raised then by an alcoholic mother. Here's how she describes her own life. My mother meant well, but most of my memories are of me mothering her instead of her mothering me. Alcohol altered her love, turning it into something that wasn't really love at all. I remember her weaving her way down the hall of our ranch home in Houston, Texas, glass of scotch in hand. She would wake me at 2 a.m. just to make sure I was asleep So I would be able to wake her at 7 a.m. just so she can get off to work. There were good times, like Christmas and birthdays, when she went out and celebrated us as children. But even those days ended with the warped glow, of alcohol. What she did right was lost in what she did wrong. Now, we're going to get back to this story in a few minutes, but it just illustrates the fact that life is very often far from Proverbs 31. So the question I have is, where's the hope? Where do we find hope? Open your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. We're going to look at three different sections of Scripture. 2 Timothy 1, verse 3, where we track the story of a man by the name of Timothy and his spiritual mentor, a man by the name of Paul. It says this, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, I, who is Paul, thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you, the person he's speaking to is this young man, Timothy, as I remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Right? Paul loved Timothy like a son. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Eunice and your mother, and which I am now persuaded lives in you also. Doesn't that all sound so idyllic, right? A godly mother and a godly grandmother, so perfect. But you need to know it wasn't. Their life was far from perfect. To get the rest of the story, the backstory, and isn't this true as you get to know people in situations? There's always a backstory. To get the full story, you need to turn to the book of Acts. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16, verse 1. This is the first place in Scripture, the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 1, where we are introduced to Timothy for the first time. Acts chapter 16, verse 1 says this. He, Paul, came to Derbe, this city of Derbe, and into Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived. And this is the important part. Whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. Do you catch what's going on? There is a reason why Timothy's mom and grandmom are mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and there's no mention of Timothy's dad anywhere in that passage. Timothy's mom was a believer. Timothy's mom was an active participant in the spiritual training of her child. Timothy's dad wasn't. He wasn't, as far as we know, active in Timothy's life at all. And if he was active in Timothy's life, it was minimal at best. Timothy's life was far from ideal growing up. And Timothy's mom was even further from the ideal. The ideal of the Proverbs 31 picture of the perfect Jewish Ozzie and Harriet wife and mother was not. Somebody's like, who's Ozzie and Harriet? Right? Far from that. So where's the hope in all of this? Where do we find hope? First, we need to know this as we think about Timothy and his mom and his grandmom and Paul and his dad. First, we need to know that God can work even through our mistakes. Isn't that good to know? Think about it. We are so good at screwing things up. We are. We can make a mess of things. The Bible says all of us, each and every one of us, have sinned. We've fallen short of the glory of God. With my wife this week, we were driving around in the car, and we both did something. Is Barbara here? You always know I'm in trouble when I'm about to say that, right? I think we both did something stupid in the span of about 5 minutes. And we looked at each other, and we said, all of us have issues. Isn't it true? It's one of the reasons why we need to learn to be tolerant with other people. We all have issues. We need to be tolerant. The Bible calls that love, right? It's maturity to recognize we all have issues and that we can still love each other. The Bible calls it love. Timothy's mom had made some pretty big mistakes in her life. As you imply from some of the things you read in this story, she married the wrong man. I think we can be safe. Now, some people would argue with the way I'm wording that, but I believe it's true. She married someone who was on a different page than her when it came to the most important issues of her life. Her walk with God. She was going in one direction, and her husband was going someplace completely differently. So what was she going to do? She had made a mistake. What was she going to do? Quit going to church? Give up? Raise her children as carbon copies of a secular, sinful culture, which was pretty wild at the time of the New Testament. Probably even a little wilder than our culture right now. So really, what did she do? Turn with me now back to 2 Timothy, to chapter 3, verse 14. Give us a hint of what Timothy's mom did. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Paul says this, but as for you, Paul is talking for Timothy. I love that in the book of 2 Timothy. Things are going haywire. Things are going crazy in Timothy's life. And Paul keeps coming back and he says, you know, all these things may be going wrong, but as for you, but as for you, but as for you, live differently. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know from whom you learned it. Who's he talking about? That's somebody said, Paul, that's true. But then he goes on immediately says, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. What did Timothy's mom do? She taught Timothy the Scriptures, even when he was in the crib. That's when the education began. She took him to temple so he could be around godly people and eventually learn from godly men like Paul. Dad was gone. She raised a man who influences, actually Timothy's an interesting character. He was young. He was probably 30 years old when Paul was writing this letter to him in 1 and 2 Timothy. By the way, if you read the book of Ephesus, the place where Timothy pastored was in the city of Ephesus, which was the largest Christian church in Asia Minor. As a 30-year-old, pastoring maybe the largest church in Christendom, for all we know. Extremely influential. She raises this man from this less than ideal circumstances who influences the world for Christ, not only in his generation, but all the way down to today's generation, because we're reading his story today. Which just says to me this, for every mom that's here, don't give up. Don't give up. God can work through your mistakes as you work through those mistakes with him. He can still work. But there's a second reason we can have hope. God can work even when the circumstances in our life are less than ideal. Now, this goes beyond him just working through our mistakes. You see, mistakes have consequences. They don't always go away. They don't go away. They result in less than ideal circumstances. It's like the story again of that alcoholic mom I told you about earlier. But we're going to come back to it. We're not there yet. It's like the story of Timothy's mom, very probably having to live with all the realities of living in a divided, separated home. Timothy's mom's story reminds us that God can still work beyond what we can ask, think, or imagine in our lives, no matter what's happened. But it's going to take two things. To see God work in your life in less than ideal situations, it's going to take two things. First, it's going to take some spiritual tenacity. Say the word tenacity. Don't you just feel tough when you say that word? It's going to take some spiritual tenacity. It's going to take perseverance. It's going to take getting up when circumstances tell you that you should stay down. It's going to take getting up when people in your life are going to tell you you should be staying down. It's not quitting even when those in your inner circle, Timothy's dad, are going in a completely different direction. It's going to take tenacity and toughness and a firmness of mind to see that through. But secondly, if you're going to overcome your circumstances and the consequences of poor decisions, you're going to need help. You are going to need help to get through those situations. Timothy's mom had help. She had grandma. All the grandmas, raise your hands. Oh, man. You rock. You do. Grandmoms are awesome. We need you. Your kids need you. Your grandkids need you. They don't need to be enabled in doing stuff wrong. We all kind of do that naturally. What they need more than anything else is a godly example, right? An example of a woman who's willing to stand and live her life for God. Now, Timothy's mom also had help from other places. She had help from people in the church, right? Timothy's dad was gone, poof. So Timothy's mom had enough sense to introduce him to the Apostle Paul, right? They met. Later on in Paul's life and relationship with Timothy, Paul later describes Timothy as his son in the faith. Isn't that awesome? You see, do you get the picture? We need each other. Singles, widows, divorce. We're all in this thing together. We're not going to make it on our own. Not only was Timothy's mom helped and she was helped, not only was Timothy's life transformed in that process, but Paul, think about Paul. Good old crusty, although really passionate at points. Paul, never married, possibly widowed. Paul, childless Paul, is given a son. Think about how cool that is. It's amazing what God can do through our mistakes and our less than ideal circumstances as we lean on Him and as we reach out to others. Now somebody's here and they're hearing this message and they're saying, well, that was then, this is now. Right? You do not know my circumstances. You do not know my situation. You do not know the things I've had to go through. Now we want to get back to the story of that lady. And we're going to end with this morning. Remember that lady? Broken home. And this lady was destined to be a statistic. Broken home. Parents divorced. Alcoholic mother weaving through the hallways of her home with a glass of scotch in her hand, waking her up at 2 a.m. to see if she were sleeping. That lady, her name's Eliza Morgan, eventually got married, found Jesus, and was tenacious. Say that word, tenacious. I like that word. She was tenacious. She decided things that were going to be different in her own family. She decided it was going to be different for her. Actually, God, through the Holy Spirit, put this thing called hope in her heart. Right? And it started to change her. So she had kids, and she started a little gathering of new moms that started to meet in their homes for prayer and support. And she reached out, right? She called this gathering eventually in her home the Mothers of Preschoolers. Some of you know it as MOPS, right? It's MOPS. There's MOPS groups meeting in the city of Alexandria. There's a MOPS group in this neighborhood. MOPS has groups of women meeting in homes in every state of the Union and in many countries around the world. Here's Eliza's testimony in her own word. When I was asked to be the president of MOPS, I went straight to my knees. And then from my knees, the first place I went to was my therapist. How could God use me, who had never been mothered, to nurture other mothers? Listen to what she learned. The answer came as I gazed into the eyes of other moms around me and saw the same needs in my life mirrored in theirs. God seemed to take my deficits and make them into an offering. We honor the moms who are here this morning. You've got one of the toughest jobs in the entire world. That's why we do the flower thing. That's why we give you the gifts. We don't want you to quit. There was an old comedian by the name of Milton Berle who used to say this about mothers. If evolution is really true, how come mothers have only two hands? God understands none of us are perfect. The best of us make mistakes. I think I did this for Lauren as well as Bethany, but I did an exit interview with my kids before they went off to college. And I sat down with them and said, these are all the things I did wrong. Because I don't want you to come back to college in a year and tell me about everything I did bad. These are all the ways I think we could have done better. All of us makes mistakes. But here's the amazing thing. God loves us anyway. The only thing I can think of that compares to that is how a mother feels about her kids. Even more than a dad a lot of times. Mothers just never stop loving. This is a prayer time as we close. Take a deep breath. Just keep your eyes closed. I want you to open those two hands that Milton Berle talked about, that God gave you. Open your hands up on your lap. Now, I want you to just imagine in your mind, take your mistakes. Take your less than ideal circumstances. Take your deficits and turn them into an offer.